call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now. 615-844-5600.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks, with you coming up just after 5. Our good buddy Joe Rexrode with The Athletic. We'll talk Titans, Grizzlies, and more with him. But right now, going to the hotline, just always happens this way. Chip Towers joins us. He covers the Bulldogs for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And I don't know. You know, I reached out to you on Friday, just had a gut feeling that we were going to get some big news impacting the Georgia Bulldogs, and we got it today with JT Daniels. But first and foremost, Chip, always a pleasure. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, glad to be with you. Always glad to talk to you and your Nashville audience, and it's good to have something to talk about. You know, there's one subject that won't go away, and then increasingly we're all hoping to talk a little bit of football eventually. I don't know when we'll get to really get down in the weeds on that for real, but Georgia got JT Daniels got his eligibility today, tweeted that out, and so Georgia's quarterback competition gets the heat turned up a notch.
Before we get into Daniels, I was throwing this out earlier in the hour because, you know, my thought process has always been based on what I know about college athletics, what I know about COVID-19 to this point. You know, I never saw September or October. And so, literally, you know, since April, I've been thinking January, February. And so in my mindset, while everybody now is panicking because it's now getting towards, you know, this week it's mid-July, and obviously Labor Day is looking very iffy about anything as far as football is concerned, my mindset has been, you know, in my calendar, my working calendar in my head, it's like March. And so I'm good because based on my working calendar, January 6 months away, and so I'm not like going up and down with the roller coaster with new news, bad news, whatever, taking away, because we get this news about the fact like the Big Ten, I think, wanted to jump the gun on the SEC and talked about just going conference only. Well, this is based on fall football, and that was a big if that no one really wanted to talk about the if part of all that equation when they even made the announcement. But if we do go back and all of a sudden now it's looking like January, February, is everything back on as far as the non-conference games?
Yeah, if whether we'd have non-conference in a January or February start, yeah, I don't know. I've been wrestling with this, slippery anaconda for, I guess you'd say, the last 24 hours. And, the SEC, obviously the SEC ADs are meeting in Birmingham right now. And
right.
I might have missed it. I've been working on some other stuff. So I don't know that we've had any news break out of that. I was told ahead of time not to expect anything, but they are chewing on all these scenarios. I don't want to sound like negative Nancy, but as we get later and later into this thing, I'm becoming increasingly pessimistic about college football in any scenario. I don't like all those scenarios that they're talking about pushing into 2021, whether it be in January, whether it be in March. I've heard all those scenarios. There's just so many considerations, and I'm kind of of the mindset now. It's like, yeah, just stick a fork in it and be done, and asterisk 2020, and then let's start over and try next year, because the conference only format in this, you know, for this fall is problematic. Conference only format for spring is problematic. A full schedule in the spring is problematic, and not the least of which you're talking about playing two seasons in 1 year for unpaid college athletes, unpaid, technical, if you want to argue about that, but I don't like any of them. I don't like any of the scenarios of forcing this game. Now, I also understand that trying to force football to be played is a good thing too. You know, certainly for the economies of Nashville and Athens, Georgia, and Oxford, Mississippi,
right,
and everywhere else that economies kind of depend on that fall influx of revenue. But from a health and safety standpoint, you know, I don't like any of the scenarios. It just doesn't make sense to me. If you're truly putting the health and safety of the athletes at the forefront of all decisions, then none of these make sense to me. So I don't know.
Well, and the reason it makes sense for me, because I know you didn't want to be negative, I'm positive about January, February, because I really still have faith about a vaccine. And that's why I'm positive about January, February. It's not because I think that all of a sudden this is just going to disappear. I don't believe that at all, that early. But I do have faith that we will have a vaccine that can work, and that's why January, February still makes sense to me.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's certainly what it takes, and that definitely, you know, buys us more time to get that to happen where it is. I don't know where the science is on that front, and I don't know how realistic of a goal that might be to get a vaccine in place by then. But, you know, it's fun to talk about and you know, experiment with the different schedule formats. I like what you said at the beginning. I do think the Big Ten jumped the gun a little bit on saying what they were doing, and now the Pac-12 has joined them, and they say the ACC is right around the corner. And I think obviously if that happens, that forces everybody's hand. You know, Georgia in itself has two ACC opponents on the schedule, so the ACC goes to conference only. Well, automatically you're down two games now. What does a conference-only format look like? And you know, there's a lot of debate and there's a lot of conjecture on what that might be. Now, none of the conjecture is coming directly from Greg Sankey or any one of those 14 ADs that are meeting in Birmingham right now. But there's ways to do it. You know, yeah, just keeping your conference schedule as it is now, taking all the other opponents off of it, compressing that. And I've heard 8 consecutive weeks. I've also heard spread it out into 16 weeks where you have an off game every other, you know, every other week. So you have 14 days between games. So if anything, there's any kind of outbreak or anybody tests positive after the last game, then there's a realistic scenario of having them come back for the next. Again, it's so complicated. I'm glad I'm not the one making the decision on how any of this is going to work or how it's going to look. But the reality is, I mean, you know, what we always heard was August. You know, August was like the line of demarcation. You got to get to August 1st knowing what you're doing.
Right.
Here we are at, you know, July, mid-July, and you've got Ohio State and North Carolina shutting down their camps. You've got the Big Ten talking about playing conference only, Pac-12 joining them playing conference only. You know, an on-time start at this point looks almost like an impossible scenario for me. And, you know, the conference-only model is very difficult to work in the calendar year 2020. And then when you get into 2021, I'm real pessimistic about asking these guys to try to play two seasons in one calendar year. So I'm negative, Nancy. And this is not, you know, you and I talked earlier this summer. This is not where I was. I mean, if we'd have talked a month ago, I'd say, oh, yeah, you're going to play in some way, shape, or form. You're either going to have fans there or you're not, but they're going to play. They're going to make it happen. And then in June, all these kids come on campus. And I said, well, that's it. Yeah, they were there. They're there. Now they're going to play. Now the question is, they're there. What are you going to do with them if you don't play? If you don't play on time or you don't play at the start of the season? Now what do you do with all these guys? It's complicated. Good gosh.
Well, that's like Ohio State sent their the day of the announcement last week. Ohio State, who, by the way, a part of the Big Ten, sent their players home. You know, it's like, wait a second, so much for the voluntary workouts because of COVID-19.
We don't want you here. Go home. And are they safer at home? I mean, I don't know. You know, one of the biggest problems with the entire scenario of the voluntary workout is, you know, personal freedoms and liberties, you know, like can you quarantine these guys and tell them you can't, you can only come to the football facility and you can only go to your apartment / dorm and nowhere else? Well, obviously you can't. And as we saw at LSU and Clemson and some other places, you bring these guys back on campus, they're young college kids. They're going to go out and want to see everybody else. I mean, that's what you do at 18 to 22 years old. I mean, you know, people don't like to stay by themselves at that age, or really at any age. And so that's been a whole other, you know, scenario about it. How do these kids feel about it themselves? I mean, we hear a little bit here and there, but, that, you know, we don't hear a lot from the athletes themselves that are being asked to make this sacrifice, if you will.
In 60 seconds, right now, if you had to gauge the Georgia fan base on whether it's JT Daniels or Jamie Newman, you know, where would the camp be at this point?
Yeah, back to that, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think this is a big deal development for Georgia, no kidding. I mean, JT Daniels, nobody knows, you know, how good he is. You know, he started as one of only two freshmen in Southern Cal history to start as a true freshman, and he was a 17-year-old freshman at the time, so he's a really young guy coming in here as a redshirt sophomore, but he has started. He was the starter last year.
I like him a lot.
He brings a lot to the table, so this is different than – so before, you had Jamie Newman, you know, and there's just no question. I mean, I think more than anything else, Kirby Smart has done this just to put the competitive heat on Jamie Newman and say, hey, man, this isn't automatic. I've got options here. It's an insurance policy, and I'm sure JT Daniels, who was granted a extenuating circumstances waiver, as I understand it, you know, you don't go through all that trouble unless you think you can compete. Now, he's 10 months removed from a ACL reconstructive surgery. That's, you know, that's about on time. I mean, he's running around and everything now. I don't think you'll see him get hit anytime soon, but I mean, I think he's fully into the competition now with Jamie Newman, and it can't do anything but improve Georgia's quarterback scenario.
Before I let you go, remind everybody again the best ways to keep up with all your coverage of the Bulldogs and the SEC.
Yeah, please follow me on Twitter, C Towers at Twitter, C Towers AJC, at C Towers AJC, and of course at AJC.com is all the Atlanta Journal Constitution content is there, and we've got a Georgia page set up and lots of SEC reports there as well.
Hey, we appreciate you, Chip. Hope you have a great rest of the week. All my best to you and your family. Continue to stay safe, and we look forward to having you on again soon.
Will do. Thanks, John.
Thank you.